President Barack Obama pledges to hit the accelerator on key policy goals with or without Congress's help. The White House has released a report recounting more than 40 administrative actions taken this year and hinting at more to come. It's fodder for a lawsuit filed by House Republicans, but the administration makes no apologies. Ben Goad is a staff writer at the Hill newspaper. He joins us to look at what's happened and what we can expect before year's end. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So, Ben, let's look at what's already happened first. What has the president done? We know that he's done some very public executive actions, but that's not all. Tell us what the full scope is.
Right. So, as you mentioned just now, the White House last week issued a report detailing dozens, I think there were 44 different executive actions that the president has taken so far in his administration. And the report really ran a gamut in terms of the issues it covered. There were several items related to the environment, including the issuance of power plant regulations that are really at the center of the president's climate change initiative. There were measures meant to boost manufacturing sector, including these the creation of these manufacturing hubs around the country. And there were workers' rights protections, steps that including expanding overtime to more people and increasing the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour for federal contractors. So really a broad range of efforts designed to say, look, we're moving where Congress won't.
And what sort of form did these actions take? They weren't all executive orders.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think this president, more than perhaps some of his predecessors, has really sought to use all the various powers afforded by his office to accomplish these goals. At a time when, like I said, Congress has been notoriously slow to act on much of anything. So he's actually issued fewer formal executive orders than most presidents sort of in the modern era. But he's used presidential memoranda, more informal directives. That was the case when he, for example, the DHS, Homeland Security, suspended deportations of certain younger illegal immigrants earlier in his presidency, and there was no formal regulation there. That was just done by letter sent by the former Homeland Security chief. So, but the main way I think he's really tried to make policy unilaterally is through his regulatory power. And that's something he's really sort of doubled down on in the second term.
And with all of these things, I mean, these are tools that President Obama isn't the first to use, but how is he using them? Is he seeking sort of as we said, the term, hitting the accelerator implies speeding up, but is he trying to find speedy ways to carry out these actions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he sees a limited window of opportunity left. Obviously, he only has a certain amount of time left in his presidency, but that will be dominated at times like this fall, and then mounting up to the next election, the next presidential election. So he's looking at a really closing window of opportunity. So he wants to move now on a couple of areas, I think, that his administration has identified as places where they can sort of move the ball forward in the time that remains.
In the past, this administration has actually been criticized for slowing down rulemaking and for regulation sort of getting into a bottleneck, as they were, once they reached the White House. Are you seeing any change in terms of the speed that regulations are being drafted and then finalized?
Well, look, I think that people who are for stronger protections and more regulations would say that the president is still dragging his feet on a number of issues, and that OIRA, which is sort of the clearinghouse for regulations at the White House, acts more of a blocker than a conduit for some of these regulations. But, when it comes to the president's priorities, I think his administration has been pretty clear about deadlines that have been set and met. For example, the power plant regulations, there's no question that those were going to come out on a certain day specified by the president, and that's because the climate initiative is, A, an area that he thinks he can move on through regulation, and B, one where he thinks he can get something done in the time that remains. So, you know, where the president really sees an opening, I think he has been moving with some aggressiveness and you know, in the interest of time.
We're speaking with Ben Goad. He's a staff writer at The Hill, and we're talking about all the executive actions that the White House is taking on key policy goals and the ones that the White House expects to take in the future. So give me a sense of what's to come.
Yeah, okay. Well, the White House has not been specific on this, but I would look for the administration to keep pushing forward unilaterally in areas where, that have been an emphasis. First, as I mentioned, the climate change push. The other one is the equal pay initiative. You know, beyond overtime and minimum wage, the administration has been talking a lot about how the United States is one of a very few industrialized nations that have adopted some sort of federal paid leave. So wouldn't be surprised to see some steps taken in that space, though it's unclear what the White House can do there without Congress. And the other one that I'd watch is immigration. The bill passed last year in the Senate is pretty well dead right now in the House. And I think you'll remember that earlier in the year, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson was working on a review of deportation policies before the whole crisis at the border started to develop. And I think there was some speculation then that the administration might move to curtail deportations or, you know, do take some measures on that front. And with this blowing up now in the Southwest, I look to see whether or not that's a hindrance or a help in the administration's search for ways to adjust immigration policy.
And with regards to that, but really it's an example that you could take for any number of issues. How much can the administration do without Congress, by regulation or otherwise? For example, with the children who are coming from Central America, there is a law in place that requires the administration to do certain things. For example, for the Health and Human Services Department to serve as sort of a conduit or a middleman once the children come in and are processed by the Customs and Border Protection. They're to go to HHS, which will then seek a sponsor for them somewhere in the U.S. So how much can the administration do by itself to speed up that process or to, as some people want, send the kids back really quickly?
Well, I think you're hitting on an extremely important point here, and that's that the president's powers are, at the end of the day, limited, and it's Congress who is supposed to make these laws, and the administration, for all of its tools that we're talking about, doesn't have that power. So beyond pressuring Congress to amend that law, I think the administration is really sort of tied in and has looked, you know, in the past at ways at sort of getting around some of those statutory obligations. But the other big problem that the White House has is a funding issue, and so that's why the White House is asking Congress for all this money right now, and it's unclear, I think, how much they'll end up getting. But I think that the limits of presidential authority have really been clear throughout this unilateral push that we've seen, and you know, I think one of the best examples of that is the overtime issue. The administration has made a huge campaign about extending the federal, or you know, increasing the federal minimum wage, the national minimum wage, and Congress has not done that. So the administration's response has been, well, we're going to raise it for the employees of federal contractors, and while that, you know, may affect tens or even hundreds of thousands of people, potentially even millions, is still a drop in the bucket of the American workforce. So, you know, I think with all of these things, the administration has said we're getting something done, but the thing that's getting done is seldom the thing that the administration has really wanted.
And given the fact that they may not, whatever they do, may not outlast the administration itself, do you think it's likely, because companies, because whoever these regulations or EOs are aimed at, have to actually change what they do, that some of the changes will be lasting. For example, with the equal pay or other things that they are asking federal contractors to do now, or regulations for that matter, with regards to the climate, are they things that can outlast this presidency?
Well, the various tools we're talking about all have sort of different staying power, I think. You know, executive orders can be undone. You know, every president follows the previous president, and in the early days of office will issue some executive orders that do away with previous policies, and, you know, assuming that the next president is from a different party, I think is when that generally happens. But you know, regulations do have a bit more staying power because they take a complicated formal rulemaking to undo, and that's something that's often politically untenable. And even executive orders that, you know, the ones you mentioned linked to fair pay, I think it would be difficult for any president to come in and say, we're reducing pay for certain workers. I don't think any president has ever done that. It's a politically untenable position to be in. So I think the Obama administration understands that and has looked for ways to sort of incorporate these tools into national policies that will not be easily undone. I mean, certainly we've seen that with some of the regulations implemented under the Obamacare, which, you know, some would argue are required by the law, and some would argue go beyond what was required by the law. So, you know, the president has been very aware of the fact that his time in office is limited, and I think he's taken steps to try to really ingrain some of these policies going forward.
Ben Goad is a staff writer for The Hill. Ben, thank you so much.
Yeah, anytime.